Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Thanks so much for being here with us on a Friday afternoon where we have a very fine show for you. Second hour, Monsignor Morris is back. We'll do Ask a Priest with Monsignor Morris. Ask a Priest. You can ask anything that would be appropriate to ask a Catholic priest as long as it's not the kind of thing you'd ask in confession. The number here is 888-3187-884. This hour, back by popular demand, Dr. Ray Guarini.
I demanded it. Would that be popular?
You're very popular and you demanded it. Yeah. That's Dr. Ray Guarini, of course, from The Doctor Is In on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and many other places. I'm very glad you're here. Thank you.
Thank you, Zach,
for being here. We'll talk a bit about forgiveness this hour.
Yeah, but it's going to come from a different angle than you think.
Okay, so some of the nuances, some of the subtleties of forgiveness. Right. That's what we'll talk about. All right. The number here, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Before we do talk about that, though, I just want to wish you, because I know that you're Italian, a happy St. Patrick's Day. And
by the way, I made mention of this earlier when I was in the Bible study. In my non-denominational church, we had a lady that was very anti-Catholic. And I asked her a question about Bible interpretation. I said, if St. Peter were here in our Bible study, and she said, we're all saints. I said, okay, if Mr. Peter were here in our Bible study.
Mr. Peter.
And it got me thinking, you know, by her mindset, this would be Mr. Patrick's Day.
That is right.
You can't say, no, because we're allowed to say
that's
saints.
That's more inclusive
yes.
if we say Mr. Patrick's Day. Yes, Mr. Patrick was a fine saint. You have, it must be a very nice for Italians because you finally get to have some real quality food, some corned beef and cabbage, a little bit of boiled potatoes.
You better not say that in front of my grandmother. Oh,
why
she would hurt you.
She doesn't like Italian food?
She loves Italian food. But
what about real Irish food? That's the real stuff. I mean, Italian food is okay, but corned beef and cabbage?
I've read about it.
You've never had corned beef and cabbage. Come on.
Cabbage? My mom used to give me that for discipline.
Was cabbage?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yes. Yeah. With the vinegar. We would have it with vinegar on it. I don't know what that was. That was supposed to help the boiled cabbage, put a little bit of vinegar on it?
I had cabbage when I walked the 12 miles to school in my bare feet in nuclear waste. That's pretty much
that was a tough upbringing that you had.
We were grateful children, though. We were grateful children. What are our kids going to tell their kids? 550 channels. That's all we got when I was a boy.
I know. None of this virtual reality that you all live in. We had to watch it on a TV.
Yeah, two dimensions. That's the way it was when I was
a
boy.
We didn't have implants. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. The way that I knew that Eucharistic adoration has miraculous power was I was a young person stuck. There were some things that, meaningless things, but nonetheless, I couldn't forgive them. And then after a few months of Eucharistic adoration, I realized I can forgive that. I had the power to do
it. You were wrong.
Well, go ahead.
When you said I couldn't, it implied that you at that moment believed you were incapable.
Yeah, right.
The vast majority of the time when people say I can't forgive, they're basically saying I don't want to or I won't. That's what they're saying.
Right.
But if you said that to them, they would argue with you because, see, they think, well, I can tell myself I forgive them, but I certainly don't feel anything toward them.
Right.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
I know.
All right. So I do believe in the power of the sacraments to help us with these things, but also Christ commands us to do it, you know?
I'm going to tell you how to make forgiveness easier.
Okay.
I'm just going to make it 50% easier.
Okay.
All right. You have to help me out with this, all right?
All right.
The old rabbis in the Old Testament, some of them, what did they say how many times you had to forgive?
I actually don't know.
You've been doing this Catholic Answers Live show for 27 years.
You stumped me.
Every knowledgeable mind in the world
comes
through here.
The old rabbis in the Old Testament.
Three.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's what I was going to say.
Right. Three strikes, you're out. All right.
Right.
So, now the questions get easier, Si. Stay with me.
They better, because I blew that one.
When our Lord actually was teaching and St. Peter asked him,
right,
how many times should I forgive my brother? And what did St. Peter say? He put forth a number. St. Peter did, not Christ, St. Peter. What number did he put forward? How many times?
Seven.
Seven. That's what he said. Now, you got to figure, Peter's thinking.
That's a heroic.
That's right.
I'm way past
I'm
three.
I'm way past the rabbis. Yes. I'm two and a third past the rabbis.
Right.
Okay. Now, what did our Lord say? You get this one, too. You'll get this one.
70 times seven.
Right. Now, if it were only 490, I'd be lucky because, you know, people can offend you 490 times in 1 year. You're full through a lot.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, he meant fully. So I got to thinking about that. That's a lot. That's a lot to forgive somebody or
right.
someone's
right.
fully. I got a way that I can cut that number in half. It works. You're looking at me like, okay, this is going to be a trick. It's not a trick.
It does not seem like a trick. No?
Okay. Let's say somebody does something to me, and I believe, okay, all right. I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to do the Christian thing. And I'm going to forgive him.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm feeling pretty good about myself because I've forgiven him, right?
Yeah.
What if there was nothing to forgive? What if I attributed to them motives that really weren't there? They didn't mean to offend me. I took offense.
Oh.
That happens at least half the time that I think I have to forgive that I don't because there's nothing to forgive. It's in my head.
You know, looking back on it, that's exactly the situation I was in. That's exactly what it was. I had that,
I'm getting tired of doing therapy with you every time I come on this show.
I know. This does seem like our therapy sessions. It does, actually, but that's really something what you're saying, that the fact is I am construing that I have to forgive somebody for things many, many times when there is actually nothing
they
to forgive.
They didn't do anything wrong.
They didn't do anything wrong.
Let's say that back when the kids were little, my wife says, I got to go out and I'm going to have your sister come over to watch the children. And I say, well, boy, no, wait, but I'm home.
Yeah.
I don't need a babysitter. So my sister comes over, my wife leaves, and I'm feeling pretty peaked.
Yeah.
What does she think? I can't handle this?
Right.
I mean, do they need fed or something? How often do they need fed? You know, and the baby's diaper says good up to 14 pounds. Okay, so until it's 14 pounds, I'm not going to change
about
it.
The load in
oh,
the
okay,
diaper.
Never mind.
Okay, go ahead.
Come on, I'm stewing.
Yep.
And I'm stewing, but oh, wait, I'm going to be a good husband. I'm going to be forgiving.
Yep.
She comes home and she says to me, Ray, I only did that because I knew you had a book deadline, and I wanted to let you have time to work on your book, so your sister coming over would give you time to go work on the book. Now, I spent 3 hours figuring, okay, I got to figure out how to get peeked at my wife here, you know, yeah. for what she did, insulting my competence as a father when she did no such thing.
Well, two things. First of all, that sounds like a very specific example, so I'm gathering that this actually happened.
Quiet. Quiet.
That doesn't sound like just a hypothetical.
Well, she really got upset when I said, they need food or what? How often?
But, all right, so second of all, what could I have done to have that insight sooner? Do you see what I'm saying? Because I got the...
Well, sure, you got to question whether your interpretation's right.
Okay.
Okay.
There we go.
The hardest thing to read about people is motives. In my office, I can discuss something for somebody for an hour. I can listen to them for an hour. At the end of the session, they say something, and I realize I totally missed it. I was off in trying to gauge their motive. I missed it. Now, this was after an hour.
Yeah.
Of listening to them.
Right.
And I still missed it. So how often do we reflexively read somebody's motive, and how often are we wrong? We're taking what they did as either a deliberate offense, or we're personalizing it, or they meant nothing by it. They meant nothing by it, but I took something by it. Okay, I better forgive them. That's what my Christianity asked me to do. There was nothing to forgive.
So you're saying I can cut my need for forgiveness
in half
just by not getting mad about things that I had no business getting mad about in the first place.
Exactly. Well put. I can tell you're the professional.
I've been doing this for a long
time. Yeah, you didn't know three.
All right. Now, I'm going to take
Jimmy Akin would have known three.
Oh, why does he like Jimmy Akin?
He would have been able to name the rabbis that said three.
He would have. That's true. Yeah. The number is 888-318-7884. Want some help with forgiveness? We have Dr. Ray Guarendi here with us. The doctor is in other words. Go ahead and give us a call. 888-318-7884. We have to take our first break. We'll be right back with more with Dr. Ray on Catholic Answers Live.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Are you ready to spread your wings? Wings is the weekly newsletter that's packed with exclusive news, program information, features, and updates of all that's going on at the Global Catholic Network. To sign up, go to EWTN.com, click subscribe, enter your name and email address, and you'll start getting your wings every week. Get your wings today. It's the weekly newsletter from EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kelly, your host, and here's the ad that I am to read today. March Madness has never been better. We're getting in the spirit with our March Madness $2 book sale, 106 20 Answers titles, 53 regular, 53 ebooks, just $2 each. That's a savings of 60%. Just use the promo code $2. Okay, now come on, Carrie. But you have to spell out $2. Don't use any numbers or dollar signs. So use the promo code $2 at checkout. Don't miss out on the deal of the season. That's our March Madness $2 book sale all weekend long at shop.catholic.com.
You wouldn't have to call it March Madness if you interpreted it correctly. It'd probably be March addressing? March contact? Yeah. March Madness.
No, but it's March Madness sells. That sells.
We are inclined. You know, this is part of the reason why people take things personally and they misinterpret motives. I think it's an evolutionary throwback.
Okay.
We are inclined to protect ourselves.
Yes.
We have to. We have to survive. In the old days, lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. Not anymore. So what do? We become hypervigilant to offense.
Ah, right.
To somebody assaulting our personhood.
Yes.
As opposed to our life.
Oh, yeah. So the natural self-defense mm-hmm. thing comes into play. And
yeah,
I'm like,
you just
attacked me.
I protect me. Yep.
Ah, yeah. But but often it's not an attack. Like even the person, which I hate that I always use this example, but I'm not.
I really want to know the details on this, man.
I know. So someone hurt me at some point, but the person who cuts me off in traffic, it's not thinking about me. It's not a personal thing. They don't intend that my day is worse. They just need to get over.
I saw something attributed to Ann Landers.
Yeah.
It said, when you're 20, you're worried about what people think. When you're 40, you don't care what they think. When you're 60, you realize they weren't thinking about you at all.
That's so true. That's very well done. Yeah. Was that Abby or Ann?
Well, supposedly it was her, but you never know because I read something on the internet just the other day that was from Abraham Lincoln. He said, don't believe everything you read on the internet.
Said
Abraham Lincoln. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sure, he said that. There's a lot of things attributed to Abraham Lincoln.
Him and St. Francis.
Yeah, that's
St.
right.
Francis is our Abraham Lincoln.
That's right. Or how many times do you think a Churchill quote has been attributed to Mark Twain? Like, as Mark Twain said... 888-318-7884, the number. We're talking about forgiveness with Dr. Ray Guarendi. Your calls are welcome. But I want to go back to Dr. Ray one more time before I put calls on and to ask you this. So this is trick number one is maybe you're overemphasizing forgiveness where you could just emphasize, have I really been offended here? Did any offense happen at all?
And you don't have to be certain that you weren't. You just have to entertain the possibility that you weren't.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
I say, for example, when my wife, I mean, not her real name, when she brought the babysitter over for me and the children, if I'd have stopped to think about it, I probably would have come to the conclusion there might be another explanation for this.
Right.
But I immediately jumped to the explanation of I'm not capable in her eyes.
Right. Right. And you needed just to
hold off.
Have some reflection on is my take on this correct?
I'll tell you what, I'm a shrink, and my take is wrong a lot in that office. And that is a situation where I'm listening to you.
Right.
And I'm asking all kinds of questions, and I can still be way off. So can you imagine how often that happens in on-the-spot human interactions?
Yeah, yeah. So if you just get in the habit of not assuming your first take is the correct take, you save yourself a lot.
I'm working on a new book about that, and that's exactly right. We assume that our first take, we can intellectually know that reading motives is very hard. It's very hard. Yeah. Even the person who does it sometimes doesn't know why they do it.
Right.
So reading motives is difficult, but yet we put such faith
in our judgment of them.
Right away.
Oh, right.
Tell you an interesting survey. They surveyed clinicians, and they said, how quickly do you come to a diagnosis? And what they found was, usually within the first several minutes, the clinician established the diagnosis. After that, whatever information came in that confirmed their diagnosis, they paid attention to. Whatever came in that didn't, they minimized.
That makes perfect sense to me.
I already concluded what your motive was.
Yeah.
Don't confuse me with any other information.
But it's so funny because we are absolutely profoundly offended when anyone else does that to us.
Like that's it.
The only reason you're pro-life is you hate women. It's you don't. You want to keep women.
You
down.
Won't give me the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
I deserve the benefit of the doubt. I'm not going to give you the benefit of the
doubt. I deserve it.
Yeah.
A bunch of folks online. Do you want to do more before we go back to the
whatever folks? The folks want.
All right, let's go to Martina in Georgia, listening on 105.7 FM. Martina, thank you very much. Wait a second. Is Martina there? Hang on.
All I got's a castle.
Can you put line
on
one
mine.
On for me?
I got a castle on mine.
Martina, are you there with us?
I am.
All right, go ahead with your question for Dr. Ray Guarendi.
So I heard him talking about motives. Dr. Granny, or mentioning about, you know, that we need to keep in mind that maybe that wasn't the motive.
Yes.
But very often, choices and actions do have consequences that may not have been part of the motive, but it's still a really bad consequence.
The question is, did the person do it deliberately to hurt? Did the person do it deliberately to have a bad consequence? Or was it something that they stumbled into or they accidentally did or they did out of ignorance? Because that's very different, Martina.
Right. So how about if you feel like, but you should have known.
Ooh.
You should have been able to see through, you know, walk it through and understand that this is what the consequence would be. That's the consequence that you thought of and not that you were, you know, intending that, but boy, did you step in it and you really should have seen this one coming. And by the way, not just this time, but you remember last time this happened?
Would you like people to be aware of when you should have known? In other words, if we say you should have known, there's certain implications there. That is, you either aren't smart enough to know, you don't learn from experience, you're too insensitive to other people to know. In other words, we're imputing to them deficiencies. You should have known. You shouldn't have done this. Which makes me kind of the moral arbiter of their behavior when they necessarily didn't do anything wrong. They just did something that ended up with a bad outcome. So I know what you're saying. And I can understand that you would hope that people would have a better sense of their conduct and what it would do. But the reality is we're all fallible and we miss it a lot. And I always say to myself, I wonder how many times I should have known.
Right, right. And we do hope that we try to not be inconsiderate, that we do try to learn from our, you know, not even past mistakes, but, you know, certainly our mistakes from our experiences, from other people's experiences. You know, and at some point, and I guess, you know, as I'm listening to what you're saying, perhaps this is where it diverges between forgiveness and accountability.
There you go. I'm not implying that we trivialize wrong behavior. Wrong behavior is wrong behavior. I'm saying that when we say, for example, with your example, that person should have known better, we're making a judgment here. And the judgment is, in some respects, we're kind of elevating our own perception, and we may be right. But to say somebody should have known better is, well, it's kind of implying a motive. And the motive is there's some reason why they didn't know better, and that's a shortcoming on their part. Okay, but I guess I would say this. If you were to confront that person, and you implied you should have known better, how often do you think they'd say, you know, you're absolutely right. I should have known better. That was stupid of me. Or how often would they get defensive? Just a pondering. I know what you're saying, and I understand oftentimes we could learn better. Unfortunately, I'm a shrink, and I realize how long it takes people to should have known better.
Martine, I'm going to say thank you and leave it there. I do hope that that was helpful. Thank you very, very much for the call. We're talking about forgiveness with Dr. Ray Guarendi. If you have questions about something that in your own life you're working on forgiving, maybe a problem you have with it, or maybe just you'd like some general insight into the act of forgiveness, 888-318-7884 is the
number. Here's one, Si.
All right.
People say, I can't forgive. Okay. Can you let go of the desire to retaliate?
Okay, so
that's the first step.
All right.
Get rid of the desire to retaliate. You may not like the person, you may still harbor the ill will, but you've given up. I want them to get theirs.
Yeah.
And I'd like to be the one to do it if it wasn't against the law, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's the easier first step, because most Christians would say it would be wrong of me to do that.
Okay.
That's very tangible.
Right.
I have to give up my right to hurt them. First step.
Yeah, I appreciate that, because it's a lot of times when people talk about forgiveness, and myself included, you kind of have this sense of being, I don't even, like flooded or overwhelmed. And if you can kind of break it down into steps.
Yeah, that's the first step.
Okay, all right.
And the other thing is this, if you can, force yourself to pray for them. You may not want to, but if you say, dear Lord, help them to see what they're doing.
Yeah.
Help them to see what they did. Or in Martina's case, help them that they should know better next time around.
Yeah.
It's really hard to pray for somebody, even if you have to fake it.
Right.
It's hard to pray for somebody and then still wish them ill.
You know, that's so interesting, because Father Hugh,
is he stealing my stuff?
He used to say to people, they'd say, the Lord says, love your enemies. And he goes, and they'd say, I can't love my enemies. And he said, you're leaving out the second part, pray for those who persecute you. He said, he tells you to love your enemies, then he tells you how to do it. Just pray for them. Then that's the most loving thing you can do, is to pray for somebody. So yes, I do think he was stealing your material.
We equate, and you guys have talked about this on the program many, many times, we create feelings with forgiveness. I don't feel forgiveness. Well, of course you don't.
Right.
I mean, that was a grave wrong that was done to you or to someone you love. That's even harder.
Right.
You know,
right.
The guy that's married to your daughter has just dumped her and the five kids. And you're thinking to yourself, I don't think I can forgive that dude.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because your feelings are so intense. The protectiveness for your daughter. That you can't just squash those. That's hard. So you have to recognize that I don't have to necessarily feel a certain way to begin to try to forgive.
Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest. The number is 888-318-7884. We'll go to Jan in Indiana, listening on 89.1. Hi, Jan.
Hi. Mine's kind of a long story, so I'm going to kind of give you a short version.
I just realized you're going to have to, Jan, because we're going to come right up on the break. So we'll probably have to get you the answer on the other side. Go ahead.
Okay. My dad was a very boisterous man who always made his opinion that seemed to be the only one that was right. And he was arguing with me over something stupid, a TV show. He said, I shouldn't let my kids watch, blah, blah, blah. I ended up saying, I'm not going to argue with you over something stupid, and I hung up on him. Now, he was right, okay? He was right. But then 3 days in a row, I called him, and you know, and I got my stepmom. And
sorry, Jan, we got to get the rest of the story on the other side. Just hang on. We'll get the rest of the story right after this. Catholic Answers Live. What if the voice of your deepest doubts about Catholicism rose up in the form of a human being and challenged you to defend your most foundational beliefs? That's the task apologist Trent Horn took upon himself in his new book, Devil's Advocate, a dialogue with his own best objections against the faith that he professes and defends. You can stand up against your doubts, and Trent will show you how. Pick up your copy of Devil's Advocate today at shop.catholic.com or at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity in The Early Church Was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
As a child, the great theologian Thomas Aquinas asked, "What is God?" Best-selling author Kevin Vost's new book follows the mature thought of Aquinas in answering that question. In clear and approachable fashion, What is God examines God's attributes and considers questions about him that have vexed mankind for centuries. Order your copy of What is God today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Matt Swaim here. Monday on the Sunrise Morning Show, we'll look at this week in Catholic history with Kevin Schmiesing, plus news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kelly, your host. Our guest this hour, Dr. Ray Guarendi. It's just wonderful when he comes to visit us. Although you are doing the Chris Check cycle right now, which
he is blood sucking. I'm going to charge him by the word.
That's funny because Simone Riscala did it a few months ago, and I told her, I said, "You are not going to sit down the entire time you're here. You're gonna." And she said, "I didn't believe you." And then I got here, and Chris just ran me ragged.
Mm-hmm. I was trimming the bushes outside. I was. Yeah.
He's going to get his. He's going to get his pound.
He said to me, you got 8 minutes free? I go, yeah. Can you clean the counter in the bathroom?
That's just the way he is. Yeah. He's in no rest for the weary. The number here is 888-318-7884. If you want to talk about forgiveness, this is a great opportunity. You get to talk with Dr. Ray Guarendi. But we have Jan on the line in Indiana, and I interrupted Jan's story. Her father gave her some advice she didn't want. And she told him she didn't want it, but then she realized that he was right. And this is what I got
so
far,
Jan. Was this before or after she hung up on him?
Yeah, but she called him back three times, and he didn't pick up. So do I have it right so far?
Yeah, and I was trying to talk fast because I knew the break was coming.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I just said, I'm not going to argue with you over something stupid, and I hung up. Well, then the next day I called him back, and, you know, he wasn't home. My stepmom said, no, he's gone today. And then I called the next day, he wasn't there. I called the next day, he wasn't there. The next day at midnight, the police come to my door, and they both had been killed in a car wreck.
Oh, Lord.
Oh,
I'm so sorry.
So I never got to say I'm sorry. I know he was mad at me. I know he was right. You know, I was just being stubborn, but I will never forgive myself. And I don't know how. I mean, I have struggled with this for so long. I mean, because he died in 07. And I still, like, I told you the story kind of quick and fast and short.
Yeah, I'm telling you, if you would put details to it, Jan, I think it would have knocked us over even further.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, I mean, it's been a struggle, and I struggle every single day with it.
Oh, wait a minute now. Now, I don't know if I have any credibility with you. But first of all, it's been 16 years. And basically what you're saying is, I am not allowed to make a mistake. I am not allowed to be human, say something that was foolish or premature. And I would imagine that you would never have beaten yourself up like this had your dad not passed away. So what you did is the same thing whether your dad would have lived or he passed away. And the fact that you keep reliving this, you're basically saying to God, you might forgive me, but I don't. That's what you're really saying. And you got to take God at his word here. He has long since forgiven you, because I'm sure you've long since confessed it and you've long since repented of it. But yet somehow you're putting something on you that God wouldn't put on you. You got to let it go, Jan. If you say to yourself, I can't, those feelings are too strong. The reason why they're too strong is because you keep rehearsing it. Why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I use the word stupid? What is wrong with me? That's my father. I shouldn't. And that's how you did it. And that's the tape you play every day.
Right.
Instead of inserting a new tape, this shows you how old I am. I'm talking tapes. Inserting a new tape that says, I didn't know it was a horrific thing that happened. If I had it to do over again, I'd never do it again. However, my dad may have taken it badly. I didn't mean it probably as badly as he took it. But it's time now to pray for my dad like I do and move forward. You see, you're not challenging anything. You just keep replaying them, don't you?
Yeah.
I know you do.
And I'm like, if I could just have one more phone call, you know, one.
You got to let that one go. Nope. See, that's another part of the tape. You keep saying, I just want to have some chance to undo it. I want to be able to make it right. You know what? Jan, I got to tell you. If I dwelled on all the things that I've not been able to make right in my life, there's no way I'd be on this show with Cy, because I'd be an emotional mess.
Welcome to my life. Thank you so much. I do appreciate it.
You can have all the emotional mess you want, but let's let go of this one.
Okay.
If your dad is in heaven, he has long since forgiven you.
Okay.
That's power. She said okay to me.
Yeah, she did.
I am not used to women listening to what I say and saying okay.
It's just women.
I'll tell you. It's my children.
Jan, thank you. Thank you very, very much for that. If you want to talk about forgiveness, we'd love to talk about forgiveness. One thing I've always admired is you do this, all this therapy stuff and everything, but you don't do it in a way that lets people off the hook of what Jesus commanded us to do. You seem to be, your take on therapy or your take on answering these questions is about helping us to do the things that Jesus, not ignoring Jesus, like, well, I have a PhD. Jesus was, he didn't know the things I know.
He only went to synagogue. Yeah, he got an associate's in synagogue.
Yeah, he went to synagogue community college.
He went on a scholarship, though.
Yeah.
His father got him a scholarship.
Well, yes, Joseph did. Joseph was good, known for that kind of stuff. But that's important to you, that this is not like this. The therapeutic healing that you're giving is not an out. Say, oh, but that you, the hard work of the gospel is not for you. You've had a lot of trauma. You know,
I don't help the person when I do that.
OK,
if they say to me, my childhood was wretched, my parents, my dad, my mom, abusive, nasty. It was horrible. And even into my 20s, it was horrible. And how old are you now? I'm 53. Okay, so we got to figure out how you can go forward.
Yeah.
You can't say, this is what happened to me, therefore I am inextricably bound to this misery.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's certain things you can't change. One is the past. One is other people, if they don't want to be changed. You can't change other people. And sometimes you can't change reality. And most of us have a hard time accepting that. We think we're God. I can fix it. I can make it different.
Yeah. Dr. Ray Grandi, our guest, 888-318-7884, the number. Going to Joey in Michigan, listening on the Ave Maria Radio Network. Joey, go ahead with your question for Dr. Ray.
Hey, thanks, Dr. Ray. I'm the only Catholic at my work, and I wear my religion on my sleeve. I don't pound anybody with the Bible or anything like that. I try to stay quiet. And we have these meetings in the mornings. And at this one particular meeting, my desk partner said something that detracted my character and embarrassed the heck. And everybody laughed. And I'm just wondering, a person's character that gets detracted, and when people say something that insults you in front of other people, isn't the human character, isn't that important? Should we not be able to defend our dignity, not the character, I'm sorry, our human dignity is very important. And I took offense to that, and then I started telling him things when he came back to his desk about him, because he knew where to hit me, and I let it happen, and I let myself get angry. I know I was wrong there, and I actually even apologized to him when I didn't want to. And I feel like I'm all alone at work in the first place, as far as, and I know I'm not there to spread religion. That's not my point. My point being is that I feel like I'm outside of the whole group, and I'm always walking away from situations to where, you know, they talk bad about women, or they're indiscreet at all times, and it seems like there's like no Christians there, and I'm not saying that I'm the holy all be all.
Joey, let me give you several bullet point answers to your question. Lawyers will tell you that anybody can sue anybody for anything. Doesn't mean the lawsuit has merit, but they can do it. There's a social parallel to that. Anybody can say anything about you at any time to anyone, and you can't stop that. So you have to accept that reality, because that is reality. Two, you said he attacked my character, my dignity, whatever. He can attack it, but he can't embarrass you and he can't make you feel bad unless you let him. It isn't automatic, because he said a nasty thing or an ugly thing or an impugning thing. You don't have to say, therefore, I'll be all upset about it. All you have to worry about is whether it's true. That's two. That's the one. This is the one side that's hardest for people to swallow. When you say they can't offend you unless you cooperate, people think it's automatic. You're going to say something offensive, I'm going to be offended.
Right.
Okay. So, but that is true. Here's the third thing. Before you went and unloaded on this guy, you hit him seven times for every once he hit you. Did you say to yourself, this is good? This is really good. The Lord said, rejoice and be glad when people utter all kinds of slander against you. Now, our Lord is telling us something that's really full of nonsense if he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Because that's not psychology. Who in psychology would say, well, you know, if you get slandered, be happy about it. If it's slander about your religion and your faith, you rejoice. This is good. Now, either our Lord didn't know what he was talking about, psychologically speaking, or in fact, that's the good way to respond. Now, you said something about dignity. Yes, as Christians, we are commanded to respect someone's dignity. That does not mean they will reciprocate. We can't demand that they'll respect ours. One more point, Joey. You feel like odd man out. Oh, sorry, I can't say that. Odd person out.
Yes.
Yeah, odd person out.
Thank you.
Okay. Again, do you realize that those folks who are basically living in ways that are probably self-defeating, and you didn't say this, but I'll bet there's a whole bunch of messed up lives among those people. In a lot of ways, you got to feel sorry for them because you know what you know, and for whatever the reason, they don't. So in a lot of ways, you should even be better feeling at work. Because look what God has shown you. Look what he's allowed you to believe and to know, and they don't. How sad that they're that lost. View them that way rather than, why are they the way they are, especially toward me? It's what shrinks call a paradigm shift.
Yeah, boy, that's the powerful thing, isn't it? That's... I wish someone had told me that 30 years
that
ago.
That guy. I'm going to try to find out who that dude is.
Joey, thanks for the call. We have to take a break. We'll be right back with more Dr. Ray Guarendi on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Save the date. Saturday, August 26th is the day, and Birmingham, Alabama is the place for the 2023 EWTN Family Celebration. We're celebrating Mother Angelica's love for the Eucharist, and join us to mark the centennial year of Mother's birth. Make your plans now to attend this free event. More details coming soon at our Family Celebration webpage, ewtn.com/family celebration.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kelly, your host. Dr. Ray Guarendi in studio with us out here in California.
You know what I've been noticing?
What have you been noticing?
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I did.
You did mean to interrupt me. I'm taking that
now,
personally.
This goes out to YouTube and Facebook?
Facebook and Twitch.
I've been keeping track during this first 40-some minutes.
Oh, no. What?
You're on camera 74% of the time. I'm on camera 26.
Well, this is what we're trying to do is present the best face we can of the Catholic Church.
Okay.
So
I'm the spiritual before picture.
Yes, you are.
Dude,
yes.
I'm trying to get. See, you're on there again. I'm trying to.
Look at
see,
that.
Look, you're on there.
They did that. Then they put you on for 1 second.
So 1 second, I'm gone.
And then took me.
I'm suing.
Wait, let's put Dr. Ray on for. There you go. Now just leave it. Ah, come on now.
See, it's Derek's doing that.
I've never noticed
He's got all that power.
That they put the camera on.
Wait a minute. Eduardo's doing it? Oh, no. Zach's doing it.
Zach.
Yeah, he's like that. I ain't forgiving him.
That's newlywed Zach.
I heard about that.
Married.
Yeah,
yes.
That's wonderful.
Yes. We're very proud of him. Very happy for him. All right. There's a bunch more folks on the line, so back to the phones we will go. But before, don't worry. I'm coming to you if you're on the phone. We're going to get to you. But I got to ask you about this. Who's the big draw in your trip to Rome in October? Is it you or is it...
Father Leo?
Father Leo. Yeah.
I think he is because he cooks.
I know.
I had him on the TV show.
Yeah.
And he talked about how he had won... throw down with Bobby Flay, and he did.
Yeah.
And I said to him, I said, let's see if you can win throw up with Dr. Ray. He cooked some kind of fancy meal, and I made a peanut butter and jelly sandwich right there.
Yeah, but I'm sure it was a really good peanut butter and
crunchy
jelly sandwich. So is he going to cook for you, the people that go with
you?
He is.
Yeah, he is. He's a world known chef, I guess. He's pretty good.
So where are you going in Italy? What's the deal going to be?
Oh, Rome, a papal mass, Assisi, Orvieto, Lanciano miracle. Yeah, he got us going all over the place.
Oh, that is wonderful. So how do people, if they want to come with you? Because I assume you're not sold out, but are you sold out already?
No, I think we got two people.
You got two people who
and Father.
You and Father are going, this is going to be a beautiful pilgrimage.
We have the whole
bus to
ourselves.
So does he have to listen to all your talks then?
And one thing I want to do is I want to spend time with the people. My wife's going to go, God willing, and
wonderful.
Be maybe my son too. So it is, go to drray.com, website, drray.com, D-R-R-A-Y.com, and the first thing that pops up is how you get info.
So how often do you do a pilgrimage?
This like first this? One ever in my life.
Oh, come on now. Yeah. People got to go on that then. This is the first.
I would think.
Yeah.
And given my age, it could be my last one too.
What What are the chances of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich over in Italy?
Oh, no,
it's
did
pretty
spam
low.
Spam the second time.
Oh, did you?
Spam. He was jealous.
Spam.
You could tell he was jealous.
Yeah. I mean, because you brought the real stuff. I mean, that's kind of heavy hitting right
hey,
there.
Hey, when I cook, we pray after we eat.
just make sure you can let us survive sure, this, Lord. The number is 888-318-7884. DrRay.com is where you can go to find out all about what Dr. Ray is up to. But go to Italy. I mean, you're going to get wonderful food, and you'll get Dr. Ray. And more importantly...
Father Leo paddling.
Father Leo.
I think the love's gone out of our relationship, Si, I'll tell you.
Oh, it was a question. See, now you're assuming things about what I meant. It was a mere question. Marguerite in Pennsylvania, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Marguerite, thanks for downloading the app onto your phone. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Ray.
Hi. I just have a comment about the caller two ago, Jan, who whose father died before she had a chance to apologize to him. And I was in the same situation myself some years ago. My father died unexpectedly. And there were things I felt I needed to say to him. And if I had known he would die, I would have said them, and I didn't. And I felt very guilty afterwards. And I happened to share that with my brother, how guilty I was feeling that I hadn't gotten a chance to apologize and even to tell him that I loved him. And he said something that just changed my whole perspective. He said, "You believe that Dad is with God, or at least getting close to God, and God knows everything and is all merciful and good and loving, and God would surely allow Dad to hear whatever you still need to say to him. So it's not too late. You can still talk to Dad and tell him whatever you want." And I did, and it brought me great peace. And I've talked to my father many times, and I trust that God has allowed him to hear what I wanted to say, what I was saying.
Marguerite, I think you've given us a wonderful lesson, both you and Jan. That lesson is this. We say, if I would have known that something like this was going to befall them, I wouldn't have acted that way. Or I would have apologized much sooner. So maybe that's a lesson for me, which is I can't presume upon tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we always talk about if that other person leaves this earth. What if I leave this earth?
Yeah.
And the last thing they remember of me was something nasty that I did. So maybe I ought to tell myself, let's just not leave any of this kind of human reparation go because we're presuming on tomorrow.
But even if we did let it go and they've died, it's still not too late. And I think that's important to know too.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. Given what you just said, I would like to say that you're the big draw. Father Leo is not the big draw. And if anything ever happens to me, I want you to know that in my heart, I knew you, Dr. Ray, were the big draw for the pilgrimage.
You read that right off the teleprompter. Just said that right there. I typed it into the teleprompter.
Anne in Colorado, listening on the EWTN app. Anne, go ahead with your question for Dr. Ray. Hi, Anne.
I appreciate that.
Oh, go ahead.
Hi. I have, so it's an Italian family, so we have a little bit of extra attitude. In 2020, my father passed away rather unexpectedly. He went to sleep in his chair and he never woke up. And but it turns out that the weekend before, mom fell, so I was helping her, and he and my brother had an argument. And the things afterwards went kind of south as far as the family dynamic and how six children thought there were three sets of opinions about where mom should live. I was like, how do we do that? You know, it's not two sets, it's three sets of opinions. So fast forward, Mom ended up living with me, and that's what she wanted. And she just passed away last June. And I have two brothers who are not, are upset with me and not able to forgive me for the whole situation pertaining to how that all came about. So what do you do with that?
Well, if you did nothing wrong, then you don't have anything to be sorry for. It's a classic example of them being upset at you and not forgiving you for something you supposedly did to them. If your mom wanted to be with you and your brothers are just insistent upon you did them wrong because mom chose you over them and you accepted it, Jan, what can you do? You can basically let them know every so often, hey, the door is still open. I want to get back in the relationship with my brothers. I'm open any time. I have no ill feelings towards you, so please. We saw mom and dad pass away. Let's not have one of us pass away without reconciling. And after that, Jan, you've done what you can do.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. And they're also not pleased that I'm also the oldest child. The oldest daughter took care of mom, and I'm the executor of her.
Ooh.
Will.
And you're probably you're also the most religious one.
Oh yes,
and that's,
everybody else.
That's a problem.
Out of the Catholic Church.
That's a problem too. Because why should they forgive you if they're not following a teacher who says you must forgive? If not, if they think that pretty much what they can do is what they can do, they have no reason to forgive you because in their mind they. You did something wrong to them, and nobody's telling them to forgive you. Their self-interest is ruling.
Ann, makes sense?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ann. I don't know. That freaks me out when you do that.
What?
You're probably the most religious one, too. Like, how do you know that?
That always happens. That happens. That's probably one of the most common themes I get. They'll call in, and they'll say, I've got relatives not talking to me. I have people who have written me off. I've tried to apologize. They will not accept it. And I'll say, they're not in the faith anymore, are they? And in most cases, 80% of the time, sadly, the other 20% of the time, they are. And every once in a while, they're daily mass goers.
Yeah.
That's right. Really sad. But most of the time, they're not. And it's the old, why should I treat you nice if I don't want to? Because I really don't follow the teachings of Jesus Christ.
Yep. Ann, I really appreciate that call. I got to ask you something, Dr. Ray. When's the last time a new book of yours came out?
About 3 months ago. Did you guys do the Top by 10 book? I don't know if you did.
Yeah, Top by 10. We had John. I just wanted to point that out because every time you come on, you say to me,
I have to write a new book just to get
just
on
to
the
get
show.
On the show. Yeah. And you didn't have to write a new book this time. You had to come out and do a whole thing.
Well, no, but wait a minute. You're missing something here,
okay,
Si.
What?
That's because I am on the Chris Check blood-sucking schedule.
That's right. You are. Yes, right. So we got something out of it. Anyways, can we maybe schedule Dr. Ray now before we leave so we don't get accused of only having him on when he writes it? It's not so bad to only have him on when he has a new book out because he gets – how often do you write a new book?
About a year, every year.
Oh, yeah, that is bad. Yeah. We should have you on more than that.
That's. Hey. You want to let your ratings drop? It's not my concern.
What ratings are you talking? What ratings are you referring to? Thanks, everybody who called Dr. Ray Guarendi. You can listen daily. What time?
Well, here it's Pacific time is 10.
10 in the morning.
Eastern time is 1.
1 in the morning.
Yeah, that's where they put me. That's
hiding
the kid who can't play baseball in right field.
That didn't come out right. 1 in the afternoon Eastern time, the doctor is in with Dr. Ray Guarendi. And don't forget that he likes Jimmy Akin more than he likes me. That's if you take nothing else away from this.
I listen to Jimmy's Mysterious World a lot.
It's good, isn't it?
Very good.
It's really good. I think that's the right way to go, too, with... I don't know. It's such an inviting show. Anybody can listen to it. Mm-hmm. Find out about mysteries of the faith, mysteries of the world.
He did a show on me that I was a mystery, and I was really offended.
Well, now, see, maybe you're reading too much
into
that.
Good point, yes.
Dr. Ray Guarendi's been our guest. Check him out at drray.com. Go to Italy with him. And Father Leo, they're going in October right now. In just a few minutes, we'll be right back.
We're not going in a few minutes.
No, you're not. Okay, I said that wrong, too. It's hard to keep up with Dr. Ray. You think this is easy. It's hard to keep up with Dr. Ray. Coming up, Monsignor Morris is here. We'll do Ask a Priest. If you've got a question you've wanted to ask a Catholic priest, next hour is yours, 888-318-7884. Thank you, Dr. Ray.
Thank you, Si.